from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning to you. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin in San Francisco, where new mayor London Breed was sworn in yesterday. Here's KQED's Guy Marzorati.
At her inauguration on the steps of City Hall, London Breed told San Franciscans that fixing the city's housing and public safety issues won't be easy.
This will require a lot of patience. It will require a lot of work, and it will require a lot of prayer.
What Breed doesn't have is a lot of time. After she fills out the remainder of the late Mayor Ed Lee's term, Breed will be back on the ballot in November 2019. That leaves just 16 months to fulfill or at least make serious headway on promises of clearing the streets of 10 encampments and building thousands of units of housing.
I think she has to hit the ground running.
That's University of San Francisco political science professor James Taylor.
She's given plenty of opportunity to demonstrate her capacities as a governing executive. And if she does that, I think voters would reward her with potentially a decade of leadership in the city of San Francisco, which would definitely etch her legacy in the city of San Francisco.
A victory next year and again in 2023 would make Breed the city's longest-serving mayor since the 1940s. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati.
After several weeks of rapidly spreading wildfires throughout California, the fires seem to be slowing dramatically. The county fire in Yolo and Napa counties, which scorched more than 90,000 acres, is now about 90% contained. We learned yesterday that an electric fence likely caused that fire. Further north, the Klamathan fire is 65% contained as of this morning. CAL FIRE spokesman Gabriel Lauderdale says the fire's been burning in some really remote and hilly areas.
In many cases, if we're going to use dozers, they have to essentially build their own roads just to get out to the fire to build those containment lines.
Now, of course, hot weather makes it more difficult to fight fires. And at the fire scenes, you can often see whole firefighting teams head to their engines to take water breaks where they fill up on fluids before heading back out to the fire scenes. Now, the heat is not just something for firefighters or old people or young people to worry about. As KQED's Carrie Feibel tells us, healthy adults can get heat illness.
Just like with wildfire smoke, heat can be especially dangerous for the young, the old, pregnant women, and people with cardiovascular problems. But UC Davis professor Mark Shanker says really anyone can get heat stroke.
You can be healthy and out in the sun and slightly dehydrated and, you know, pass out from heat.
Back in 2006, a heat wave in late July killed more than 600 people across California. Later, researchers discovered that hospital visits actually spiked more in the normally cooler coastal areas, probably because people there aren't as used to coping with heat or don't have AC. Shanker studies farm workers. They are 20 times more likely to die from heat-related illness compared to all other types of workers. And he says every single one of those deaths is preventable.
I mean, these are young working individuals who are taking it the prime of their life.
California was the first state in 2006 to require employers to provide shade, water, and rest breaks for outdoor workers. But only a few other states have followed suit.
These are not exotic genetic diseases for which we have no treatment or effective therapy. This is rest, water, shade. It doesn't get any more basic than that.
Shanker would like to see a nationwide standard to protect anyone who works outdoors in the heat. For the California Report, I'm Carrie Feibel.
All right, for our next story, it's... you know what? Let's just stick with the facts here. Fact one, everyone needs to use the restroom. Fact two, in Big Sur, there are more tourists than there are public restrooms for about 100 miles. And fact three, people living on that 100-mile stretch of highway are stuck with a lot of messes in their yards. Here's KAZU's Erica Mahoney.
Marcus Foster has lived in Big Sur for 25 years. He's the caretaker of a ranch. Recently, he's also become an unofficial caretaker of Highway 1. At least once a week, Foster gets in his truck to go pick up poop, where the highway borders the ranch's property. Just a minute down the road, and he spots toilet paper. It's tucked behind rocks and bushes in a dirt pullout. He pulls over and gets his supplies.
I have plastic garbage bags. My litter picker-upper, so I don't gotta touch nothing.
And he gets to work.
Ew. Stand back. It's fresh toilet paper.
At just one pullout, the bag is nearly full.
Here.
Big Sur's Highway 1 sees hundreds of thousands of visitors every year.
And that's what it feels like living in Big Sur, is basically a Disneyland with no infrastructure, and you can really feel the consequences of that.
State Assembly member Ana Caballero says the lack of bathrooms is the top complaint she hears from Big Sur residents. She's one of a few regional elected officials who represents the unincorporated area. Big Sur has no local government. Last year, Caballero helped create a bathroom task force to assess and address the issue. Part of the problem is that this stretch of coastline has no formal rest stops, but it does have 17 public bathrooms, including porta potties. Caballero says the longest stretch between them is about 30 miles.
The problem is the traveling public doesn't know where those restrooms are. And part of the reason is because over the years, the signs along Highway 1 have been removed for aesthetic reasons.
She'd like to bring back highway signs, noting where there are public restrooms, but there's no timeline for that to happen. So the plan is to build new permanent restrooms north of the much-photographed Bixby Bridge in Garapata State Park. That will bring the total number of restrooms to 18 when construction is complete in about 2 years. Neither of these remedies will solve the problem now. And that means Marcus Foster will continue to pick up what he can along Highway 1.
The bag's getting heavier by the minute.
For the California Report, I'm Erica Mahoney in Big Sur.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, the website that shows all financial accounts in one place and helps plan for retirement. PersonalCapital.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they had the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, July 12th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.